Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. I am Evangelist Ty T. C. Nelson, and Jesus and I are your hosts for the Real Rap Talk Show here on blogtalkradio.com/backslash Purpose Kingdom. And this is our 1,543 episode. Praise the Lord for that. Well, brothers and sisters, tonight Jesus wants to go back and finish the lesson from Halloween. So tonight is part two of Welcome to Fright Night for Real. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we come in spirit and truth just to worship you and to praise you and only to give you glory, Father God. And once again, come giving you thanks. Thanks for this day and all that has transpired to this far, Father God. Knowing, Father God, your will was done. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be vessels to carry them through. I come now, Father God, asking you to drain me out, Father God, and to fill me for you, Father God. Allow your wisdom to go through, Father God, for our brothers and sisters, Father God, to open their spiritual eyes, Father God, to what Lucifer is trying to do, Father God, and to learn his influence he's trying to put on us, Father God, that they will walk out his trap, Father God, in Jesus' name and defeating him always. Father God, we only give you the glory, only give you the praise, and only say only in Jesus Christ's name we claim the victory over Lucifer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we say yes unto you, and amen, amen, and amen. We're going to go over what we talked about on Halloween. We really need to get an understanding on demons. We need to get a real understanding that demons are really 100 for real. In fact, Jesus and I will start off with this past Thursday. Jesus, I, and my cousin Freddie had to go out to New York and perform a real-life exorcism. So Halloween has not stopped. You know, if you turn on the news, you're constantly hearing about shootings. I mean, here in Philadelphia, we had two guys, brothers, parked over on the side of the road because he couldn't figure out the stiff shift on a new car that they got. Car came up and just shot him. Some guys would come out of a club, the first time went in the club, did not leave the club, did not get no confrontation, nobody in the club, but came outside and some guys in the car shot him. They even started to strike out in broad daylight. You have to understand that this is not a game, my brothers and sisters, that this is real. What we want to do is, like I said, going back over our Halloween. So we need to give a little recap on some things, like the tradition of Halloween. And the tradition of Halloween originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off spirits or for some people, ghosts. In the 18th century, Pope George III designated November the 1st as the honor of saints. All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions from the Samhain. Turn my page here real quick. All Saints Day celebration was also called All Hallows or All Hallow Mass from the Middle East. It was called All Hallow Mess, meaning All Saints Day. The night before it, the tradition night of Samhain in the Celtic religion began to be called All Hallow Eve, and eventually Halloween. We got to understand that demons seek you out in your worst time period. Demons seek you out when you feel as though everything's going up against you. Demons will come to you, as this young man we had in New York. They came to him he's artistic, okay? I'm not going to tell you his name because it's his privacy, but he's artistic. And I praise God for his spirit because he's a prayer. Let me put it like this. I thought that Jesus and I was praying. This young man made me question myself on my own prayer level. That's how much he prayed. And he was being attacked. The demons came to him and tried to use the fact that Peter, because Peter was crucified upside down. They tried to make him think that nobody respected Peter, and it was wrong for that. So they made him put an upside-down cross on his chest, making him think it was a sword. This is how demons come at you. They play their very minutely. They can play mind games so quick on you, it's not funny. And from the cult festivity, we start to learn that we're celebrating evil. Halloween is a time period for mystical things, evil spirits, killing. You look at Halloween, there's nothing positive that comes from out of Halloween. In fact, like I said, they put the people were put on costumes in order to ward off evil spirits. Evil spirits, you know, we say evil spirits, and we look at it, and sometimes we don't take the time to really get into the understanding of what an evil spirit is. An evil spirit is something that would do anything that goes against God, self-pride, anything that makes you go against God, make you think that you're doing all this, make you think that you're the one to control everything, denouncing God and anything. That's an evil spirit. Demonic spirits, yes, are very evil, but the demonic spirits are not trying to be evil, for they are evil. They're trying to get you to do evil by turning away from God, forgetting God, denouncing God, not coming to God, taking God out your plans. Anything that goes against God, that's what their influence is to you. Now, we have certain types of ghosts that are on this earth. Like, one type of ghost is known as a residual ghost. Excuse me. A residual ghost is idea that it be something, and it comes from the idea of something left behind. Put, a residual ghost is believed to be nothing more than energy that is left behind when someone dies. You see, a residual ghost is believed to be the result of an actual, activity that an individual frequently does when he or she was alive. It's like this. Or the result of a violent, unexpected death, which may explain why so many battlefields are supposedly haunted. Cases, the release of energy leaves an impact in the area. A violent death typically results in a sudden result of energy, while a repeated activities result in the same place, sustained results, meaning that a residual ghost is, let me keep on going, hallelujah, I hear you, Lord. In both cases, it is believed that the released energy is stored in a specific location and somehow replays itself from time to time. Like, for example, the routine of a man who was 50 years old would walk from the dining room onto the porch to smoke his pipe every night after dinner. And end up causing enough residual energy to linger after he has passed. The actions continue to repeat itself like a phantom scream that is consistently heard at a certain time of day or night, could be the result of a residual spirit reenacting the violent death and its loss. So it's like this. I'm just sweating. It's like this. Someone who you know that maybe workaholic, going to work every day, they got a certain routine they do. They get up in the morning, they do this, they do that, they go out to work, they come back home, they have a certain routine. After a couple of years, it is said that you'll build up so much energy in doing that, that's a cycle. It's called a cycle. It's what you're doing. You're used to doing every single day. So when that person passes away, that energy that's built up continues to go on. You may hear a noise, a smell, the smoke from a cigar. You might smell the pipe smoke. And you know, knowing he's not there or they're not there no more, but it's because of that residualness of it kept going over and over, and it keep happening again and again and again. That's the thing about, we have to get an understanding. This is a residual ghost, so there's nothing really about a residual ghost that's really, that's the only thing that, that's, that gets to you. Okay. And then you have what is called intelligent ghosts, or spirits. Unlike residuals, intelligent ghosts are not intelligent ghosts not only interact with the living, they tend to seek them out. Intelligent ghosts will always, you watch the, all the shows on TV about paranormal, quote, on camera, ghost hunters, ghost adventures. You always see them walk around with this little box and they're trying to talk and you hear a voice come back on it. That's an intelligent ghost. It's looking to interact with the human being. And because it does that, it goes, it talks to you, it looks for you, like let me keep going on. I'm not speaking about hence which made them intelligent. And wherever so a residual haunting, like a residual haunting repeats itself, the same action in the same place, an intelligent ghost or spirit are free to roam wherever they please to go. If you sometimes see a particular ghost or spirit late at night in the kitchen or at other times in the attic in broad daylight, because they can do that. They can show themselves up at any time they want. Unlike a residual ghost, it just mostly just sounds and smells at a certain time. You know what I'm saying? You are dealing with what's called an intelligent ghost. They are believed to be spirits of people who, for some whatever reason, simply refuse to move on after they passed away. In some cases, it is because they want to remain with the people and places they love while they were alive. Other intelligence seem to have unfinished business on the other side, on this side. And since intelligence seem to be aware of the living and they are aware of the living, they are the ghost, like calling. I'm getting all lost. Sorry, excuse me, brothers. Just right now, I'm just let me get my mind back where we need to be at. Let me pick these demons right now because they don't want. That's the thing about a demon like this, right? You, when you are teaching about them, they will attack you. Like they will attack you in any way they can, try to get you to stop doing it. So I'm gonna start over again. Since intelligence seem to be aware of the living, they are the ghosts, and like calling them ghosts, I like calling them ghosts. The most often they make themselves known to us and to mediums. Unlike residual, intelligence seem to have the ability to communicate behind the grave. And now we're going to speak about the third type. We're called the black sheep of the intelligence family. And there are two types, integrity subcategories of intelligence, demonic and poltergeist. They are defined as intelligent because they appear to understand that the living are nearby. In other words, demonic entities are known to interact with us humans, which means that they are intelligent. They know your name, they know what you're doing, they know about you. The same would be true for unhuman ghosts, such as dogs, cats, and other animals. Now, you've seen, like I said, if you watch any TV show of the hauntings, you have seen spirits of ghosts and cats. I've seen them on TV. I'm pretty sure everybody else has. Or even better yet, you've probably seen them yourself hand in hand. And spirits acknowledge or interact with the living, then it's intelligent. Now, the category of poltergeist is a topic that's hotly debated. Some believe that because humans appear to be the target of poltergeist activity, such as flying plates, glasses, they are intelligent, but others believe that flying objects are caused by nothing more than violent releases of energy, which would make them prototypes. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. All right, let's get this straightened out right now. When you're sitting in your house and you got plates flying around you, it's not because of your violent energy inside of you. It's not because of built-up energy that's coming from off of you or anybody else. This is coming from off of a spirit that is trying to interact with you, trying to let you know that it is there, that is trying to either get you to leave or harm you. And you have to understand that this is not a game. It is not a game. Okay, let me go back for a minute. Just let you know, we would not be with you long tonight. Like I said, you just want to go back over this, so we're going back over our notes right now and go back over. And we're going to talk a little bit. Now we'll get serious about these. Then we can talk about these demons, all right? Demons have what is called disembodied spirits. They're called disembodied spirits that have the intense craving to occupy physical bodies. Apparently, their first forced choice is a human body, but rather than remain in a disembodied condition, they are willing to enter even the body of an animal. Now, we remember in Luke 8:26 and 33, when Jesus came over into the land of Jordan, and everybody was running and scared because there was a man in a cemetery that was possessed by demons. And because he was possessed by demons, everybody wouldn't go in there. So Jesus went in to see about him. When Jesus sat down and talked to him, first of all, when he walked up, the demons knew who Jesus was because they identified him as the Son of God, not man, the Son of God. And they asked him, and they pleaded with him, why are you here? Please don't cast us into hell. And cast us into these pigs. And we know the story that Jesus cast them into the pigs, and he held them off the hill. So anything that's accessible to a demon to possess, it will possess that body. It is hard for us to entertain the person without a body. Nevertheless, even though demons have no bodies, they have normal accepting markings of personality. In other words, all the normal things that make them real, like a will, emotions, intelligence, self-awareness, ability to spoken on. Let's look at the first one, will. The demon who was cast out of a man says, I will return to my house from which I came. That's from Matthew 12:44. The demon here expresses his will to make a declaration that he will be coming back to this house. That's what we have to understand. They know what they're doing. This is talking about, okay, number two. Let's look at number two. Emotions. You believe that there is one God. You believe that there is one God. You thus will. Even the demons believe and tremble. James 2:19. Trembling is an outward mark of some feeling, a strong feeling. Jesus and I have seen a demonized person confronting with the authority of Christ began to tremble. When we did the exorcism on Thursday, when we called on the name of Christ, you can see the demon getting scary. It is an outward manifestation of fear of the demon inside. When the word of God is being thrust upon them, there's the awareness, the emotions that they feel from that makes them run. This is makes them more and more intelligent. Now, intelligent, demons have knowledge not from natural sources. The first is kind of a demonized man in the Sinagogue, in corruption, The man, the demon spoke out of the man and said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Mark 1:24. Right there, they recognizing who Jesus is. Like we said, and a demon knows your name, okay? They know what you like. They know what you don't like. They know where you live. They know everything there is about you. You can't get around that in no way, no how, no form, no fashion. They know who you are. And because they know who you are, they know how to come at you, to influence you, to get you to do things that you wouldn't normally do, or to even to get you to continue on doing things that you wouldn't, that you know that's not right. We have to get a real understanding when you're dealing with a demon, you're not dealing with a dummy. You're dealing with something that knows how, that's been, first of all, that's been on this earth longer than we have. So it's been through centuries. So it knows what it's doing. It knows how to influence you. It knows how to get you. Like I said about the young man, it came at them with sympathy for Peter. This is a person who read a book about a man and didn't feel as though, and feel as though it made him feel as though that people weren't respecting him. And because of that, now that's just off a book. Imagine in reality now today how you may be at work and feeling something going on or going against you. That's how they come at you. They want to separate you. They want you to keep you away from everybody. This is how they work. That's intelligence. Only somebody with brains or some type of a sense that can design a way to make you, to break you down, is only coming from an intelligent being, awareness. When Jesus asked the demonized man in the country of, these names, boy. God, Gordon's. What is your name? And the demon answered on behalf of itself and of other demons, my name is Legion, for we are many. This is out of Mark 5:9. The demon was aware of both its own identity and that of the other demons occupying the man. That's pride. And if you read Isaiah 14:12-17, Lucifer is the designer, the king, the creator, number five, the ability to speak. In the first three gospels and also in Acts, we see several examples of demons able to speak through the vocals of a person, through the vocal organs of a person. They were occupying. They could answer questions and carry on conversations. This is a sign of intelligence. Don't think demons are stupid. Like I said before, they are very smart. Demons are some of the fallen angels who fell with Lucifer, rebelling against God. The Bible presents specific instructions on how to gain victory over demons, devils, Lucifer, over Lucifer. Apostle Paul he tells us to give no opportunity to the devils, to a demon. Apostle Paul tells us don't give no opportunity, no nothing, in Ephesians 4:27. Apostle Peter teaches us to be sober, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking one to devour. Resist him. This is out of 1 Peter 5:8-9. And James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. James 4:7. The sad truth is that far too many people are giving the devil an opportunity. They are not being sober or watchful in their faith, and they are certainly not resisting him. And in life, firm conviction that the devil has not corrupt, the devil's not doing anything against man, humanity, rather man, more people are demonstrating a willingness to play with Lucifer, like Halloween. What I'm trying to say here is, I don't know why the time I keep getting, I'm nervous, I don't know why, but it's getting sickening, but demons Well, come back. I don't want to repeat myself.
Okay.
When you are engaged in spiritual warfare, it's important to know your enemy. The following evil spirits, demons, or devils are mentioned in scriptures. Each one is personal, and the word used expresses their nature. Like spirit of wickedness, Luke 13:11, mute spirit, Mark 9:25, dumb spirit, Mark 9:25, distressed spirit, 1 Samuel 16:14, fool spirit, Revelation 18:2, unclean spirit, Mark 10:1, spirit of divination, Acts 6:16. Apostle Paul teaches you how to cast out a demon. Spirit of bondage, Romans 8:15. Spirit of eager, 1 John 4:6. Spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Deceitful spirit, 1 Timothy 4:1. Jealousy spirit, Numbers 5:5-14. Lying spirit, 2 Chronicles 18:21. A familiar spirit, Deuteronomy 18:11. Spirit of the Antichrist. You really want to get this one down right now. 1 John 4:3. Spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. A previous spirit, Isaiah 19:14. Sorrowful spirit, 1 Samuel 1:15. The spirit of deep sleep, Isaiah 29:10. A spirit of difficult, 2 Chronicles 11:4. Lucifer, the undisputed overlord had abused control, absolute control over his invisible herd. His name Lucifer reveals the vulnerability characteristic. Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12, Prince of the power of air, Ephesians 2:2. Ruler of the demons, Matthew 12:24. Destroyer, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Serpent of old, Revelations 22. Great demon, Revelations 12:9. Devil, Revelations 12:9. Also speak that wicked one, Matthew 13:19. Father of lies, John 8:44. Murderer, John 8:44. It is a wonder that we are continually afflicted, frustrated with oppression, and worried and tormented by these disembodied beings. They swarm around us like mosquitoes. Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to tear down the enemy's kingdom, we become spiritual targets for the enemy. Once you decide to make that walk, that conscious decision that I'm going to walk with Christ and I'm going to turn away from all this, you are now under a real attack because you've woken up to what God was showing you about these demons, and you know that they are real. And there's no games about it. You realize there's nothing to play about it, and you want to have that goal inside you to want to help somebody else as Jesus did. You start to focus on and start walking and with Christ even more, because Christ walks with us every day. If you walk and decide to walk with him or not, he's still standing right there with you. That's his love for you. He didn't come from heaven and allow himself to be born through a child, through a man, through God's creation, and die on that cross. Not to walk with you every day, even when you're not there or trying to walk with him. He's always with you. And that's what demons want to try to get you, that you think and make you think that you're in this world by yourself. People may turn their back on you, but Jesus never will. People may turn down, talk bad about you, but Jesus never will. And that's what demons want you to get you through, take your focus off of Jesus and focus more on what you're facing every day. It's hard to look at Jesus when we face a world of candlelight. Because we can touch this. We can't touch Jesus. But when we start to allow our spirits to become in touch by Jesus, then we know that we can touch Jesus. because we can feel him with you every day. You feel that spirit that's on you. You feel him when you're walking around. When you pray, you feel him coming down on you. You feeling him when you go do something for someone else. You can feel his spirit, so you know he's with you. And demons want you to stop and take that from you, and we can't. Only those who walk with Christ, those who choose to stay away from, those who choose to stay away from Christ are in danger. We both are. You're walking with Christ and you're not walking with Christ. Demons don't have a certain specific type. I'm just going after just that person or just that person or just that person. No, they're going after everybody. They want everybody to fall down. They want everybody to break down. They want everybody to be broken down because they feel as though that they're better than us. And this is why churches desperately need men who are spiritually specialists who can minister to the spiritual needs of God's people. Let me read that again. This is why the church desperately needs men of spiritual specialists. Jesus and I are exorcists. You got pastors. You got men that need to come to the fold. You got men that need to stop allowing themselves to let their woman take care of that. It seems like if you go back to the history of the church and look at it, you'll see that the men were force. There's a movie that I love called Deacon of Force. When back in the day, the church deacons had to stand up for the church and protect the church because the Ku Klux Klan kept coming, was going on burning down churches. And these brothers in the church got tired of that, and they did what God said. They stood together, and they stopped them. And they stood for Christ, and Christ stood for them, the men. God needs the men to come back to the church of the house so they can be equipped spiritually so they can go handle the spiritual needs of God's people. You've got to be after you. We got to start get back into prayer. We must get ourselves back into the awareness what God needs us to be. And brothers and sisters, our world is falling apart fast. And we're sitting back allowing it. Jesus always keep pointing out to me, you got this, those who worship Lucifer are diligent at their jobs. They study daily. They pray daily. They're on it. They take no time to relax. But when you look at us as Christians, we're lazy. We don't want to do, I don't feel like doing that today. God called you to do something. The eye factor is too much of Lucifer. We got to get rid of that eye factor out of us. We have to become what God says. Because how can you expect God to do for you when you can't go do what God needs for you to go do? When God says go fight that demon, cast that demon out, you have the authority of Christ that resides in you to do that. Like I said in Acts 16, verses 16, Apostle Paul and Silas went to Philippians, and they had a little girl had the power of divination on her. Divination is fortune telling. And she kept going behind, talking about these are the men that will bring you salvation of the one God. And she kept going for days in and days out. She, to the point she was driving Apostle Paul crazy. He turned around in anger. He turned around and he cast that demon out. That is God's way of showing us if Jesus resides in you, then these are things that you can do. We need to get more of a look at, like, because of Christ is all in me and resides in me, and the authority of Christ was within me, I have the power over demons to change things. When God said, with a mustard seed of faith, if you have believe, you can make that mountain crumble into the sea. That mountain is a symbolizing thing that's holding you back. That's too far to do. If you figure it's too hard, but Christ takes that down. If you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then why are the churches failing? Why are not the men coming back to the fold? God needs the men to stand up. Remember, when you go to Genesis, when God said today we're going to make man out of our image, he meant that because the first one he ever put on the first human being he ever put on the earth was man. His whole communication was with man. When God finally found favor with Adam, he made Eve. But go back, when God finally found favor with Adam, he made Eve. So God had favor, set favor on Adam. But Adam, everything up to that point where God was having him to do, naming all the animals. He sat in that garden with the four rivers flowing into one. He sat there and tended that garden and took care of that garden because God told him to. God told him, don't eat of that tree, but eat of anything else up in it. He obeyed that. God found favor with them. God needs to find that favor back in with man. We need to get back to that status of being obedient to what God tells us to do. All the sicknesses, that all the diseases that's going through this earth, and because there's no faith being put in the air, can stop it. And it's my hope that Jesus and I have shared in this lesson will not increase one's fear of Lucifer, but rather help people come to a deeper understanding of the saving power of Jesus Christ, who comes to defeat Lucifer. For John 10:10 says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. We really, really need to take God's words and put them into practice. We got to stop quoting the words of God and sounding good. You know, David's son, King, he told Solomon, said, don't sound like it. Solomon told him, don't sound like a know-it-all. No one likes a know-it-all. Actually, none of us know it all. That's why we study daily to know anything. But it's not the saving Christ, the saving power of Christ guiding us to the things that we need to learn, and we learn them. What's the point of learning something and not using it? What's the point of knowing that you have the power and authority in you that can cast a demon out of somebody's life and not use it? Wouldn't you think you'd be helping that demon out rather than helping Jesus out? And live in the authority relationship and live in authority relationship with Jesus Christ will always keep Lucifer and his demons at bay. When you are constantly in prayer, we all know the much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no prayer, no power. That's true. We have to stay constantly in prayer. You do not have the ability to cast out a demon on your own. Go to Acts. Wait, no, not Acts. It's in there. Yeah, it is. Acts 19:13-17. In there, they were watching Apostle Paul do a thing, and a bunch of they were sitting around exorcism, but nobody had the Spirit of God on them if these guys didn't. And they go into a tent to try to cast out these demons. But the demon said to him, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. You, we do not know. The word of God said there was a rumble, dumble, about 5 minutes it lasted, and the guys came running out of that tent butt naked and bleeding. If you're going to try to go up against a demon without Christ wrapped around you, if they don't see Christ is with you, you're in trouble. And the God letting you know that we need him in order to survive on this planet. We cannot get, I'm sorry, I cannot get nowhere on this earth without being guided. I'm stupid to it. I need you to let me know, don't go down that way or go this way. Study on this. Go there and do this. Help that person. Pray on this. Because the more I'm obedient to what he's doing, the more the doors that I need, I'm learning more that the more I'm doing for somebody else, I ain't even got to pray for myself or ask God for myself. Because I've learned that the more I'm doing for someone, I'm praying for somebody else, Jesus is praying for me. He's looking out for me. He right there. That's where my faith lies at. And that's where our problem lies. It's our faith. Once our faith is built strong, you will not let Jesus down. Once your faith is built strong and deep-rooted in Christ, God's words will ride in you, and they will be noticed in you, and it will be seen in you, and people will know that, will come to you seeking that spiritual help because they know Christ is in you. And demons, oh, yeah, they're gonna come at you. They won't come at you day in and day out, but they'll come at you with Christ or without Christ. I think it'd be a lot better if you have Christ with you than not. We have to watch out for what we celebrate. Now, knowing that Halloween is Lucifer's Christmas, knowing what I was celebrating was evil, scares me. Standing, when I celebrated Halloween, I invited evil spirits into my house and in my life, and I was living in the lives of my family. This is a night when we need, this is a night that we need to get in our minds that is no good for us. Halloween is a night celebrating evil, pure evil. When you celebrate Halloween, you are celebrating evil. You are celebrating this. Nobody, not talking to no non people that don't know nothing. You know what celebrating does. You know what celebrating brings. You know what you're celebrating. When we're celebrating that evil spirit, we're celebrating Lucifer's spirit. We're celebrating what Lucifer wants. We're celebrating what Lucifer's trying to get us to do. It's like this, brothers and sisters. No dead air, I hear Jesus. When you allow yourself to walk away into what you know is not what God wants you to do, and you go do it anyway, your fear of God is not there. Your faith in God is not there, because it's your faith that builds your fear. The fear of God is only not wanting to go against God and hurting God's feelings, not letting God down, not being the one that God looks at and says, "Be gone from me, you worker of iniquity." That's what fear is. Fear is going to hell. Fear is sitting down there burning and burning for eternity. Eternity is something that is never, you might as well call eternity residual, because it's going to keep going and going. The energizer, the buddy, ain't got nothing on eternity for real. But we have to get an understanding that if we allow ourselves, because you can't fault Lucifer, all he's doing is influencing you. It is up to you to make the decision to follow Christ or follow Lucifer. There is no in between. You're going to do one or the other. I don't like saying Christians, I like saying followers, believers, okay? Because as a believer, as a follower, you're a doer, you're a studier, you're a fighter, you're a go-getter. You go do what God needs you to go do. When he calls you, go do it. Out of all the operations that we have, from hip, total hip replacement, total knee replacement, with the sciatic nerve damage in our back, and I really don't like wintertime. My fiance will tell you, because of the metals in my body, it gets my body cold. But when Jesus asked me to go help somebody, to go take a walk, I know somebody needs prayer. I'm going to take that walk. And yes, I'm going to be in pain. I'm going to get home, I'm going to be in pain. But here's the thing, though. The pain that I'm in is not at the pain level it could be. Because the pain level that it could be the pain level that stops me from doing anything. But the grace of God, the saving power of God, keeps the pain level down so I can go do. And his mercy and grace is right there with me. Because when I get home, I get back in the heat. I'm telling you, I'm praising. You think I'm joking with you. We have to get an understanding that God expects expectations. Everybody always talking about they expect God to do this, they expect God to do that, they expect God to do this, they expect God to do that. But you always tend to forget that one thing. God has expectations of us that we need to fulfill before he even begins to fulfill ours. For he did say, "Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness." Stop and stay there. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Focus on what God needs you to do. And I'm telling you, when you focus on what God needs you to do, and you start doing what he needs you to do, all those things that you have a problem with will go away. Well, it's funny, because now God is sending angels down to cover you. He did say he would send angels down to charge over you, to protect you. God's not lying. And Lucifer is a liar. And it's funny how Lucifer got us. Well, not us, but got people believing that he's telling the truth. That's not how it's supposed to be. We have to understand the word of God is real, because the word of God is teaching you about your enemy. So if you know through, if it was God's word that taught you about Lucifer, then, and you saying that what the word of God saying about him is real, don't you think you should start putting that word of God in practice on how to defeat Lucifer? Once again, Jesus said to the men out there, he's really, really, God is really, really the Holy Ghost. God loves the fellowship of the men. He loves that because there's unity in the men. There's strength in the men. There's authority when the men come together. There's power when the men come together. And that's a force that's hard to be reckoned with, a force of men being driven by God. It can't be stopped by no evil thing. But as long as we're not willing to do what God needs to do, Lucifer is winning. I pray in Jesus' name that we stop that going on. Like I said, Jesus said we're not going to be here long. So in closing, Jesus and I want to leave you with this thought, and it's about demons. I said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we come and spread the truth once again just to worship you and to praise you always, to give you glory and give you thanks, Father God. God, I always pray that, you know, every time I would do this, I always get nervous and words always get mixed up. I pray, Father God, that you have made the words quite clear, that made everything that needs to be said to our people, Father God, to touch the spirits, Father God, to open the spirits, Father God, to what Lucifer is trying to do. Come to call upon Jesus right now in the intercede against all that Lucifer is trying to do to all who listen to our voice right now, Father God. Allow your words to resonate in their minds after this show is over, Father God. And let it be that your words, Father God, that bring a light to them, Father God, that will make a big change in their lives, Father God. Once again, Father, I'm just giving you thanks and your glory, Father God, because we know, I know, I say thank you for allowing what you want to set forth to be done, Father God. I say thank you for allowing this time period now to be taught about Lucifer is out there now. I say thank you, Father God, for allowing for those who seek to do your will to step up, Father God, and step into that fear factor of not letting you down and beating up on them demons as we had you designed for us to do. And with the Holy Spirit by our side and with Jesus on our side and a fleet of angels with us, Father God, your order should be carried through. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And only in Jesus' name, Father God, we say yes unto you, and we defeat Lucifer always. Father God, yes unto you, and amen, amen, and amen. Be blessed. Amen.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.